We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
"20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the PACKADAY podcast.
What is up, everybody? Happy Thursday. Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Packaday Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on X at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Packaday Podcast. If you've not yet checked out Packaday Podcast YouTube memberships, do so right now. Hit that like button, subscribe, comment, do all those great things that help out the algorithm. If you're listening on any of the audio podcast channels, do those five-star reviews, comment, do all those things as well. It helps us out a ton. But enough about that. We've got a ton to get to. Actually, I have one more thing. I do want to thank our brand new Packaday Podcast YouTube members, Ryan Stills and Mr. Osmodeus. Thank you so much for signing up. But like I said, we have a ton to discuss. Free agency is still crazy. There is a ton that is happening. It definitely tapers off through the course of the week, and it's not like there has been quite as many things that have happened, especially from a Packers point of view, but I want to recap some of the things that have gone on, some of the things that I haven't had the opportunity to dive into quite as much. We did have some updates on Wednesday, had the opportunity to go and look at every single rushing snap from Josh Jacobs from 2022. So excited to go over that with you and sort of compare and contrast the difference between 2022 and 2023. And then I really kind of want to look at the state of this roster as well. Where is it at? How has it changed? And there's some really interesting things to look at from that side of things as well. So let's start off with the updates that we did get from Wednesday. The big one, the one everyone's been waiting for, Christian Welch is back. He is on the 53-man roster, or I guess the 90-man roster again. Christian Welch, who was on the 53 a season ago, core special teams player, off-ball linebacker. He will be back with the team. He did sign his new contract on Wednesday. Picture of him, you know, signing it in the Packers offices once again. So that's great to see. Green Bay needs bodies at off-ball linebacker right now. We'll talk about that more in just a little bit as well. This is one of the players that I pointed to, really, you know, kind of hitting all the ones that I kind of expected at least would be in the conversation of coming back. Tyler Davis, we talked about. Christian Welch is a special teams guy. Corey Ballantyne is sort of that back of the roster corner slash special teams guy. The one that we talked about and sort of tossed up one way or the other was really Keyshawn Nixon. And the big question was going to remain, did Green Bay value him as a starting slot corner? And based off the contract they gave him, they did. And so all of those players are back. But the latest on that group of players is Christian Welch. We'll go over which players are still in that free agent market from a Packers side of things in just a moment here. Meanwhile, one other piece of news, Patrick Taylor and Robert Rochell both were not tendered as restricted free agents. This was 100% expected and not anything out of the ordinary or anything what we thought was going to happen. The reason being, you might say, well, why would they not tender them as restricted free agents? The reason being is those minimum contracts for a restricted free agent come in right around $3 million. They were not going to give a three. If they would have tendered either of them on that $3 million contract, both of their agents would have sprinted so fast to sign that contract, it wouldn't have even been funny. That does not mean that Robert Rochelle and Patrick Taylor are for sure gone from the Packers this offseason. Both of them can, you know, both of them become unrestricted free agents immediately, but they have the right to sign with any other team as well as the Green Bay Packers. And the Packers could easily still make them an offer to bring them back in some capacity. There was just no way it was going to be that $3 million deal. In fact, it's funny that I say the agent would run to do it because while the agent probably would run to do it and sign that deal, they're actually probably setting them up for failure because the odds that they actually make it through the 53-man roster cut with that $3 million contract was probably extremely slim. So you're actually probably setting them up for failure by doing so. But either way, Robert Rochelle and Patrick Taylor become unrestricted free agents. And now they will have to see if there, you know, is some market for them across the league, or maybe Green Bay finds a way to bring them back as well. So far, as we have gone through 3 days of free agency, and I guess officially the first day of free agency was Wednesday. Monday was the start of the legal tampering period. But we now know that this is sort of the state of things, at least as of recording this very, 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 very early on Thursday morning. In for the Packers so far, as we know, Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney. Neither of those contracts became official on Wednesday. Not anything to be worried about. We know the Packers take their sweet, sweet, sweet time with these sort of things. The Packers just finally announced their coaching staff this week, by the way, which is just amazing and hilarious that it took this long to announce everything. I think it was probably due to the fact that they were finalizing some of those spots on the strength and conditioning side of things. But either way, they take their time on announcing all this stuff. But either way, Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney, we know, are going to be the two big additions to the Packers this offseason. Re-signed are Keyshawn Nixon, Corey Ballantyne, Tyler Davis, and Christian Welch now, as we talked about. On their way out of Green Bay, Aaron Jones, who is, of course, a Minnesota Viking, David Bakhtiari was released. Devondre Campbell did officially become released on Wednesday with that June 1st designation. Darnell Savage is headed to Jacksonville. John Runyon Jr. headed to the New York Giants, and Jonathan Owens headed to the Chicago Bears. That means the remaining free agents for Green Bay, I guess we could put David Bakhtiari and Devondre Campbell on this list if you want, since Green Bay released them, they are out there and free to sign at any point. But their other remaining free agents, Yash Nyman, AJ Dillon, Rudy Ford, Eric Wilson, Josiah DeGuara, and then Robert Rochelle and Patrick Taylor that we just talked about, who are no longer restricted and now in that unrestricted free agent market. I did see quite a few questions just about some of the exclusive rights free agents. If you remember, Emmanuel Wilson, Caleb Jones, and Daniel Whalen, all exclusive rights free agents. We've talked about these in the past, but these are basically team options. They are free agents in no sense of the word. They have no rights and they are not free. They basically, how this works is the Packers, when you're an exclusive rights free agent, tender them as an exclusive rights free agent and then can make that offer to them. And the player basically just only can accept. There's no real other way around it. They could do like a crazy holdout, but there just isn't. That doesn't happen. So they are, again, a team option at the bare minimum contract. And there's no downside for Green Bay really to do it unless they don't want them on the 90-man roster at all. You can release them at any time with no penalty or no cap hit. This is every, you know, team advantage that you could possibly have. And the player is just basically at the mercy of the team on a bare minimum contract. Now, they signed up for that deal when they signed with the team, knowing they would become an exclusive rights free agent. So this doesn't like it's come out of nowhere and they didn't expect it to be that way. But Emmanuel Wilson, Caleb Jones, and Daniel Whalen will all get, you know, or have been tendered as exclusive rights free agents. They'll all be back on those bare minimum deals this upcoming season. So there's no reason for concern on Wilson, Jones, or Whalen unless Green Bay decides they don't want one of those back. I can't see that happening, certainly with Wilson or Whalen. Caleb Jones, there's just no depth on the offensive line, and they spent 2 years developing him. I'd be shocked if it's not the case with him too. So expect all three of those players back in training camp this upcoming offseason. There was one other thing that some people had asked about too, questioning the status of Bo Melton. Bo Melton is under contract. there. It's not an exclusive rights thing. It's not a restricted free agent thing. He's just under contract. So I know I saw some people online worried or nervous that maybe Green Bay was going to have to work something out with Beaumont. Nope. He's under contract. He's a wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers. You do not have to worry. Bo Melton is firmly in tow and on this roster for 2024. Meanwhile, Tom Silverstein reports that the Packers are probably pretty much done, at least in that first stage of free agency. And he mentions the fact that they could maybe, you know, go bargain shopping, maybe tier two or tier three free agent, which is what, you know, we sort of discussed with Perry and Alex yesterday as well. That's fine for a variety of different reasons. One, the big spending is basically over anyway. We'll go over tomorrow. My plan is to do like what free agents are still on the market and what, you know, players Green Bay could target still that would improve this team and would help them. But as I mentioned, if you're looking at a lot of players, like let's just say, right, safety, I would argue like the remaining ones, like a Julian Blackman, a Jordan Fuller, fall under that tier two free agency anyway. If you're looking at an off-ball linebacker, it's like Jerome Baker and a bunch of tier two, tier three guys at off-ball linebacker. The offensive line market is pretty picked over. Running back, I don't think they're going to really target in free agency anymore. So this was not going to be something where they still added a significant player to the team in free agency. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're done. And as again, we talked about a little bit with Perry and Alex yesterday, this is where Green Bay really does, usually it's really fun and awesome work. Whether it's Ben finding Keyshawn Nixon on a complete bare minimum deal when they signed him, Devondre Campbell, 1 year, $2 million on that first year when he became an all pro, Rasul Douglas off the practice squad, Bo Melton off of a practice squad, Rick Wagner signing, you know, for a very cheap deal and becomes a huge starting piece of that team that made it to the NFC Championship game. Green Bay knows how to find these value free agents. Now, they don't always work out. Devin Funchess, Sammy Watkins, a couple of players that come to mind. Christian Kirksey was up and down, but they also have found some real diamonds in the rough over the years. And if Green Bay can do that again, it would be huge. The Jacobs and McKinney ones are going to be the big payment ones, the ones that you need to pay off. But if Green Bay can find a couple of those hidden gems again, like they have been known to do and apt to do in the past, that would be a huge, huge get for Green Bay. So don't take your eyes off of free agency yet. Like I said, this is where usually Goody and that pro scouting staff thrive, is finding these, you know, under the radar players. I think there's still some players out there that could make some sense from that side of things for Green Bay. Now let's see if they can unearth a few that would really be able to make an impact on the Packers in 2024. All right, then we have AJ Dillon, a little bit of an update here. It has been reported by multiple people. Tom Silverstein, I think, was the first one on it, that AJ Dillon is not expected back with the Green Bay Packers. Ian Rappaport on Wednesday reported that there are several options for AJ Dillon and pointed out three in particular: the New York Giants, the Indianapolis Colts, and the Dallas Cowboys all seem to have some level of interest in Dillon. I would expect that he has a better opportunity elsewhere. The fit in Green Bay really just probably isn't that great anymore. And I would expect Green Bay to attack that running back position via the draft rather than kind of go through the Dillon experience again. We'll see where he ends up, but for those of you who are still holding out some hope that he's going to end up in Green Bay, all signs point to that not being the case. Crazier things have happened, but right now, again, Giants, Colts, Cowboys, per Ian Rappaport, seem to maybe be the leaders in the clubhouse at this point. It's so crazy to think that we're over a month removed from actual football, and it's already the start of free agency. But despite the end of football, the action on the floor is just beginning to heat up. It's tournament season, the NBA's in its final push towards the playoffs, and there is no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. So that means it's time to get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Right now, you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks. There are so many reasons why Prize Picks is my favorite fantasy app, but my absolute favorite aspect is the fact that I can log in, easily make my selections, and submit my entry within 60 seconds. Prize Picks completely changed my football season and my overall enjoyment of the game. Now, it's NCAA tournament time, and I sincerely cannot wait to combine two of my favorite activities, March Madness and Prize Picks. This week, I'm already keeping an eye out for Damian Lillard three-point makes, Nikola Jokic rebounds, and let's just say I plan on making a ton of Caitlin Clark picks over the next couple weeks. The best part is that right now you can download the app and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. So download that app right now and use code PACKADAY for that first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We did get the Xavier McKinney full contract breakdown. I know we went over the Josh Jacobs one already, but McKinney's is officially, it was reported as a 4-year, $68 million deal. Guess what? Green Bay got a bargain. It is actually a 4-year, $67 million deal. $16.75 million per year, so a little bit less than we were expecting. 2024, his cap hit will be $7.8 million. So that's how much Green Bay or Xavier McKinney will count against the contract for Green Bay this upcoming season. His future cap hits in 2025 are expected to be, or as of now, would be $17.6 million. 2026 would be $19.1 million, and 2027 would be $22.5 million. This contract is pretty similar to a lot of the contracts that the Packers do. This will be for sure, a 2-year contract unless something insane happens. The reason that that is he basically has a, let's see, 5, 10, 15, 20, sorry, 15, 16.5, 17.25 million dollar cap hit, dead cap hit next year if they were to release him. If he's on the team, he has a 17.6 mil cap hit. So they would save all of 350,000 in total cap if they were to release him next year. He's going to be on the team in 2025. This is at least a 2-year deal. They will unequivocally restructure his roster bonus, which is $8.5 million, and probably some of his base salary next year when they get to that point to open up money in 2025. And then we'll see in 2026, that really becomes sort of the, do you want to keep him around? Is he playing well? Or is it time to move on? He didn't live up to expectations. So it's probably a 2-year deal, with the option to move on, or, a 2-year deal where they start restructuring stuff and it doesn't look anything like the 4-year, $67 million anyway. But as of right now, 4-year, $67 million, if he does stay for just 2 years, and this is actually sort of a unique thing with this contract, I would say, let's say things go wrong. It just didn't work out in 2 years from now. And like I always tell you, if you're a GM, you always want to let yourself have outs. You never want to paint yourself into a corner. You never want to leave yourself without options. If it does end up being a 2-year deal, it would come out to a 2-year, $36.9 million deal, which is $18.45 million per year over the first 2 years. And that would be split up over a longer period of time than just the 2 years, but $18.45 million per season total. And what you want to look at here is usually when you have like a 4-year deal, that's like an exorbitant amount of money. It usually splits out to being, maybe like a lesser amount. And then if it's 2 years, it usually goes up. Like there's a premium if it only ends up being a 2-year deal. The fact that if it's a 2-year deal, you still get him in that 18 mil per year range is actually pretty good. And it doesn't leave you with a sour taste in your mouth that, you sort of paid all of this money over the first 2 years, where it's maybe like a $24 million per year over the first 2 years, and then you have to get out of it and you just didn't get the value that you wanted. This, it gives you an option after year two if things go bad. And nobody's expecting that, right? Nobody wants that. Everyone wants Xavier McKinney just to play out his career in Green Bay, be a phenomenal player, big time impact. And whether it's seeing that through that 4 years or extending or whatever it may be, Everyone just wants to see him succeed. But like I said, you always want to leave yourself options. And I think Green Bay, Russ Ball, Brian Gutekunst did a pretty good job with that with this contract of after 2 years, there are legitimate options here to move on from Xavier McKinney if it ever would get to that point. All right, next I want to go over Josh Jacobs running because I mentioned the other day, had the opportunity to watch every single snap from 2023, rushing snap. Haven't gone through everything yet. Haven't gone through pass blocking or receiving yet. Guys, I promise you, I will do extremely deep dives on all of the free agent signings. As of right now, we know Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs. I'm going to do a full grading of them in 2023, Manny, meaning, you know, how I do a grade of every single player on every single play all year long. I will go through on every single snap for Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney and grade them out for every single play. That stuff, as you can imagine, takes a lot of time. And unfortunately, with my surgery coming up on Monday, it might be a hot second before we get to that point. But we will get there, and I will do extreme breakdowns on both Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney before we get to, you know, clearly before we get to training camp, but before we get to anything like that. So those things will be coming. But I did want to go and look at Josh Jacobs as a runner because the big thing you look at is all those running efficiency numbers in 2023 that just took a huge dive from where they were in 2022. So, you know, this is why we don't box score scout. This is why we don't just look at PFF, you know, grades. This is why we don't just, you know, look at the raw data and say, well, this is what happened. You want to see if there's something that's explainable as to why things did not go as well in 2023 as they did in 2022. And when I first looked at the tape from 2023, I said the very huge thing was the blocking, but I didn't have a chance to really compare it to 2022. So I went back, watched every rushing snap from 2022 today, and here's what I learned. In 2022, he was incredible. Friends, if they get 2022 Josh Jacobs, look out. I'm just going to put it as easily as that. Look the heck out. But what was 2023 Josh Jacobs? Here's how I would equate it. The biggest thing, the difference between 2022 and 2023 had nothing to do with Josh Jacobs. Absolutely nothing. It was the blocking. It was 1,000,000% the blocking. And then I do think the blocking had some effect on Josh Jacobs, meaning it's like a quarterback where if you're a really good quarterback and then all of a sudden your offensive line can no longer protect, and because of that, you don't have the ability to just sit in the pocket and go through your progressions and be a great quarterback. You have to drop your eyes and look at the offensive line, and you just never are in a rhythm. I felt like the blocking was atrocious for Josh Jacobs last year. Constantly, players, and a lot of times multiple players in the backfield causing disruption and not letting him to get in any rhythm whatsoever. And then I do feel that over the course of the season, as that went on, it really took him out of his rhythm, meaning he was looking at everything and I think sometimes expecting that there was just going to have to be, there was going to be multiple players there and like just kind of like not getting in that rhythm and almost like expecting at times things to just go poorly. And I think it affected not only the rhythm, but I think it affected like sort of his vision and just like how he was reading the offensive line. And I do think that that affected him. I could make an argument that maybe the explosiveness was a slight tick below in 2023 than what it was in 2022. But overall, when I watched him, I saw the same caliber athlete, strong, fast, physical, low to the ground, a ridiculous, you know, jump cut move and cut moves that will literally leave people grasping for air. I saw all of those same things, but I didn't see quite the confidence or the rhythm, the timing, and the vision from Josh Jacobs in 2023 that I saw in 2022. And that started and ended with the offensive line play. If you get him good run blocking, and I don't even think he has to always have that. In fact, there were multiple occasions in both 2022 and in 2023 where he makes multiple people miss in the back, you know, in the backfield or at the line of scrimmage and still is able to make incredible things happen. But if you get him any level of blocking, at least not having three guys like, you know, shatter the entire play from the get-go, he's going to be in a great spot. I do not see him having really any signs of slowing down physically. There are people that believe he's like this plodding back. He is not this big, slow, plodding running back. He's got good strength. He can break tackles, but he's actually somebody that uses his speed incredibly well. He likes to bounce things outside. His jump cuts, like I said, are fantastic. His lateral agility is really a big-time superpower. And then the other thing here that I'll say is, if you guys have heard me evaluate and talk about running backs in the past, what I'm looking for is to every running back to some extent is going to have some level of blocking. They are at the mercy of their blocking in front of them to some extent. But if you get one-on-one on the second level with a defender, and the only thing that's stopping you from a big-time explosive play and probably a touchdown is that safety or is that second-level defender, what is in your arsenal to make people miss? I always go back to the PlayStation controller. Do you've got the hit stick? Do you have the circle, the spin move? Do you have the stiff arm? Do you have the juke and you're really good with the sticks? Like, what is it that you can do? Maybe you're just fat. Maybe your turbo button. Maybe you're just insanely fast. Whatever it might be, you have to have something. AJ Dillon is an example of somebody who had nothing. The idea was the truck stick for AJ Dillon, right? That he could get to that second level and run a safety over. It sounds great in practice. In theory, in what actually happened in games was he would truck stick somebody and try to run someone over, and they would both just fall down together. And he wasn't able to actually run through them and over them and past them. He would run at them, and then they would both just tumble down. And with Josh Jacobs, he doesn't have one. He has all of them. There are massive plays. You can go and look at these on Twitter that I all posted online. In some in 2022, some in 2023. There's multiple plays where he just stiff arms people and they have no chance. Like just disrespectful stiff arm into the ground and almost like he accelerates through it. There's a play in 2022 where he gets to the second level. There's two gorgeous plays. There's one, he gets to the second level and then he like cuts right and just accelerates right by the safety. And the safety, before he knows it, that Josh Jacobs is in the end zone. There's a split safety play where Josh Jacobs gets to the second level and the safety has the angle on him and Josh Jacobs just erases it. And he's gone, like his like 90-yard run, just completely gone. He annihilates the safety's angle and just takes it to the house. Power, there's multiple plays where he's running through tackles. His contact balance is phenomenal and he plays very low to the ground. He gets his pad level low. Like he runs through his pads and stays low and he has that power too. He has a beautiful juke move and specifically a jump cut that he uses on a variety of different occasions. He has a spin move that I saw on a variety of different occasions. He has every single PlayStation controller move in Madden that you want at your disposal. He has all of them. And like I said, I just need one. I just need one and I'm good. Can you do something on the second level? Sometimes it's a Chris Johnson where he's just going to run by you. Sometimes it's a Mike Allstott where he's going to run through you. So you guys get the point. But I need something and he had all of it. And my most impressive aspect of all of those is his acceleration and his ability to stop and start and then accelerate through all of it. He accelerates like through his spin move. He accelerates like through his juke. Even there's a play where I'm watching where he goes like right and he cuts or he fakes left and goes right. And it's like he's doing it still accelerate. It's unbelievable, like the change of direction and movement ability that he has. So again, I didn't see athletically a step back in 2023, maybe a very slight explosivity, you know, change, and maybe not again quite to the level of 2022. I think that's nitpicking. I think more it had everything to do with the blocking, him getting out of rhythm, probably keeping his eyes on everything and not really making that decisive play to, you know, see the hole, make that quick cut, and then get upfield. I think everything was just off kilter, and that goes hand in hand with a offense that did not work, a run blocking or a line that could not run block, a coach that got fired, a quarterback who, you know, they went through multiple quarterbacks and they had no real semblance of an offense in 2023. That all was the situation. He was in a horrible spot. And if I'm right, if that Josh Jacobs athletically is the same player, if he's the same player as 2022, and now he goes into a situation, let's be clear. It's not to say that Green Bay has this dominant run blocking group. That's not who they are. They're a pass first team. And like Aaron Jones made a lot of magic happen with not many creases. I thought they did get better as the season went along, but this is not a dominant run blocking group. But I don't think Josh Jacobs necessarily needs that. He needs a competent offense, an offense that the defense is going to be afraid of the passing game. The defense is going to be afraid of explosive plays down the field. They're going to want to keep their safeties back to limit those explosive plays. That as a quarterback, that as a coach who knows how to use Josh Jacobs, and he's going to a situation and a system that does all of those things with a team that is going to complement his skill set and allow him to cook and do all the great things that he is great on. I do think, as I said, prior to him getting signed and after he got signed, I think there is risk here. I do think there is probably still some wear and tear. He had a lot of carries in 2022. I do think that when you look at the analytics, you have to put all of the pieces of the puzzle together. Analytics can't do it in and of itself. Scouting and watching the tape can't do it in and of itself. If you ignore any aspect of it, you're doing yourself a disservice. Now, like I said, I can take the tape. I can look at the analytics in 2023 and say they were very, very poor. They were AJ Dillon-esque poor. Now I need to go and tell the story. I watched every snap of AJ Dillon in 2023. I watched every snap of Josh Jacobs in 2023. I will be shocked if those two numbers are remotely the same. Josh Jacobs is on a different stratosphere of running back than AJ Dillon is. If those numbers end up the same for Josh Jacobs in 2024 of what they were for Dillon in 2023, I will be beyond stunned. They're just totally different players. And I do believe that him coming to a system that's going to accentuate his strengths with players that are kind of complement him well in a system that's going to be built to utilize him at the best of his ability. I think he is in such a better spot. He didn't have quite the wear and tear in 2023 that he did in 2022. So I think he's going to come into Green Bay fresh, ready to go. And really for the first time in a while, he has one playoff game under his belt that they lost. He had a nice game in that game against the Bengals. But outside of that one opportunity, he's never had the opportunity to win in the NFL. And now he's going to. So we'll see. Like I said, there's risk. There's things that I still need to break down with his tape from a receiving ability. I still need to look at his pass pro, which rumor has it is not great. But from a just pure running standpoint, he has everything. And I'm excited to see how he blends in with this Packers offense in 2024.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
All right, next up, I wanted to go over just a couple of different things that are just kind of fun to look at. The first is the age of the roster. The Packers right now on their roster have one player over the age of 28. And that is Preston Smith at age 31. He is the only player, 29, 30, 31 or older on the team, Preston Smith at age 31, which by the way means if you are 32 or older, you are older than every other player on the Green Bay Packers. And if you are 29 or older or 29 or 30, there's only one player that is older than you on the Packers. And again, that is Preston Smith. That's pretty impressive in and of itself. And I was just going to stop there. And then I'm like, oh, let's see what else there is. Packers that are age 28. So we know 29 or older, there's only one. Packers who are 28 years old, Kenny Clark, Elgton Jenkins, Matt Orzech, and Alex Magoo. And Matt Orzech is probably going to have to earn his job in camp. My guess is they bring in competition. And Alex Magoo, at best, is probably a practice squad guy. And they probably start developing another younger quarterback. And I would expect him probably not to be on the practice squad or roster this upcoming season. But really, Kenny Clark, Elgton Jenkins, the only two core members of the team, along with Preston Smith, that are 28 or older. Age 27, Jaire Alexander, Zane Anderson, and Corey Ballantyne. That is it. Which means that on the entire roster right now, there are, eight players that are over the age of 26. Jaire Alexander, Zane Anderson, and Corey Ballantyne, who are all 27. Kenny Clark, Elgton Jenkins, Matt Orzech, and Alex Magoo, who are all 28. And Preston Smith, who is 31. This is an incredibly, incredibly young roster. Meanwhile, go back to those transactions. Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney, who were signed. Jacobs is 26. McKinney is 24. Released, Aaron Jones, 29 going on 30. Bakhtiari, 32. And Devondre Campbell, 30. Brian Gutekunst is going young in a very aggressive way and completely rebuilding this roster in his image in a very youthful and come together all at the same time, grow together sort of way. And if you're looking at what this team did last year, now adding Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs, you have to feel really good that this is a very young, very talented roster that should continue to grow and get better, hopefully year after year after year. Meanwhile, in another sort of interesting way to look at this, I wanted to go back. The 2020 NFC Championship game was played in January of 2021, just a little over 3 years ago. So about 38 months ago, just a little over three, actual years ago. 2020 NFC Championship game had one offensive starter that is still on the roster, and that is Elgton Jenkins. One offensive starter from the 2020 NFC Championship game until now, Elgton Jenkins. Three defensive starters still on the team, Kenny Clark, Preston Smith, and Jaire Alexander. Three defensive starters. One player who was active for the game but was on the bench, Rashawn Gary. And then one player who was inactive for the game and again, was on the roster on the 53, but was just a healthy scratch, and that was Jordan Love. There were no other players on IR or on any or on the practice squad or anything else that are still on the team today. Six players on the entire roster in the 2020 NFC Championship game, Elgton Jenkins, Kenny Clark, Preston Smith, Jaire Alexander, Rashawn Gary, and Jordan Love, are the only six that were on that team that are still in Green Bay today. That was just over 3 years ago. That is an insane number. That is an insane rebuilding of the roster. And I don't even have anything else really to go over for it. Goody churned that roster in a significant way. And to do that and still be competitive and almost make it to another NFC Championship game this past year is a pretty ridiculous thing. And now, by the way, Green Bay has five top 100 picks, 11 picks overall, and they're going to continue to get younger. And their free agent signings were still pretty young at 24 and 26. This is a very young roster. And like I said, Brian Gutekunst has completely turned over the roster in his image. Meanwhile, let's look at this starting lineup as if Green Bay had to play a game this weekend. It should be noted that Green Bay does not, in fact, play a game this weekend, and that there is a draft left, and there is some free agency left. And as Brian Gutekunst oft likes to say, it is a 365-day-a-year process to build this roster. But as of right now, if you were going to go out and start a game, you got Jordan Love at quarterback, Josh Jacobs at running back. Pick your favorite two wide receivers, Dontayvion Wicks, Jaden Reed, Bo Melton, Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, whoever you want. Pick your two favorites. So Love, Jacobs, your two favorite wide receivers. I'll go Dontayvion Wicks and Christian Watson. Why not? Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave at tight end. And then Rashid Walker, Elgton Jenkins, Josh Myers, Sean Ryan, and Zach Tom along the offensive line. Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary at defensive end. Kenny Clark and Devontae Wyatt in your defensive tackle roles. Isaiah McDuffie and I almost said Rashid Walker. That'd be an issue. Isaiah McDuffie and Quay Walker at off-ball linebacker. Jaire Alexander, Carrington Valentine, and Keyshawn Nixon at corner, and Xavier McKinney and Anthony Johnson Jr. at safety. That would be pretty much your starting 22 right now on offense and defense. I had some questions about this. Let's talk about the first question. Anthony Johnson Jr. at safety next to Xavier McKinney. Who, like, is he going to start? All right, well, let's talk about that. Right now, the safeties not named Xavier McKinney are Anthony Johnson Jr. You got Zane Anderson. You got Benny Sapp III. Those are pretty much your other options. So yes, right now I would say your best option opposite Xavier McKinney is probably Anthony Johnson Jr. We know they're still going to add to that room, whether it be still maybe a vet, you know, free agent, or whether it be a draft pick, maybe two draft picks, maybe three draft picks, who knows? But we know they're going to add to that room. I still think Anthony Johnson Jr. will get a chance to compete for that spot, but I would not make it likely that he is the opening day starter right now. But if we were to play a game this Sunday, I would say it's more likely that Anthony Johnson Jr. would be that starter opposite of Xavier McKinney because that veteran or rookie is not currently on the roster to start alongside of him. I also had a lot of 4-3 comments and questions of who's going to play where. Guys, here's how you have to look at it. And it's very simplest terms. And there's always nuance, but the defense is going to really ultimately remain the same up front the vast majority of the time. This is going to be a nickel defense 80% of the time. Period. End of story. Like that is what it is. This is a nickel league. LaFleur said it. Goody said it. I think Halfley said it. They're going to play a lot of nickel like every single other team in the NFL does. Everything at corner and safety for how they line people up, meaning three corners, two safeties, is going to stay the same. Now, we know there's probably going to be a lot more single high and a guy in the box, but they're going to be two safeties. There are going to be three corners with one of those corners in the slot. There will be two off-ball linebackers, just like there were in the 3-4 version of this defense. Right now, it would be Isaiah McDuffie and Quay Walker because it's just Christian Welch and Christian Young that are the other two off-ball linebackers that are on the roster right now. I heard people say, well, what about Preston Smith? No, Preston Smith will be a defensive end in this defense. He will be rushing the passer in this defense. What about Brenton Cox? No, Brenton Cox will be rushing the passer. He will be a defensive end in this defense. This will be a nickel, two linebacker defense the vast majority of the time. All right? Now, you're up front, you're down linemen, if you will. You are going to have two wide defensive ends that usually in you know Joe Barry's defense were standing up. Now they're probably going to have their hand in the dirt, but that's not even guaranteed. They're going to look very similar position-wise, just maybe out a little bit wider potentially, and maybe with their hand in the dirt. But that's still going to be your Rashawn Gary, your Preston Smith, your Brenton Cox, your Kingsley Enagbare once he's healthy, your Lucas Van Ness. Those are going to be your guys out wide on this four-man alignment on the defensive line. And then you're going to have your interior defenders, which are still going to be the same guys that were interior defenders last year. Colby Wooden, Carl Brooks, Devontae Wyatt, Kenny Clark, TJ Slayton. That's what it's going to look like. The change is almost nothing. Now, if they are actually in a base, what does that change? The only thing that changes is you're taking that Keyshawn Nixon slot corner off the field, and instead of having another defensive lineman, which is what you do in a 3-4, because you've got your outside linebackers, meaning your edge rusher standing up, and then you've got your two off-ball linebackers, and then you add a third defensive lineman to the core of that group. So instead of in your base defense taking off Keyshawn Nixon and putting in a defensive lineman, you're taking off Keyshawn Nixon and putting in an off-ball linebacker. That's all that it is. Your off-ball linebackers right now are not Preston Smith or Brenton Cox or Rashawn Gary or anything like that. They will be defensive ends in this defense. All right, edge rushers. They will still remain edge rushers. They were edge rushers. They're now edge rushers. Now we're just calling them the defensive ends instead of outside linebackers. Just a very simple change overall. And then Kenny Clark, Wooden, Brooks, Wyatt, Slayton, they'll all be on the interior of that defensive line at the defensive tackle positions. And then your off-ball linebackers are still going to be, you know, Quay Walker, Isaiah McDuffie. If Devondre Campbell were still on the team, he'd still be an off-ball linebacker. It just so happens that they released him. Christian Welch, off-ball linebacker. So those are your changes. It is extremely minimal overall. And I think there's been a lot of overthinking of it, of like, are these players going to play these positions? No, it's basically the exact same. So don't overthink it too much. The next is in that starting lineup right now. I had a lot of people talking Carrington Valentine versus Eric Stokes. I posted that starting lineup and everyone's like, where's Eric Stokes? To me, he's behind Carrington Valentine right now. That's how I would define it. Eric Stokes had a nice rookie season, looked terrible in year two, was out for a huge portion of that season, was out for a huge portion of last season, looked bad in his two stints at corner, at least looked like he was rusty. And then now he's going to have to earn everything in camp. Will he have an opportunity to earn the starting spot? Yes, he will. No question about it. You know, regardless of who they draft, regardless of, how Carrington Valentine goes, like he will have an opportunity to earn it. He's a former first round pick. Could he be the starter opposite Jair? Absolutely. But if it were to, again, starting a game this Sunday and I had the choice between Carrington Valentine or Eric Stokes, I'm going Carrington Valentine. I did ask everyone on X, at least people who follow me, who they would start, whether it be Carrington Valentine or Eric Stokes. 62.4% said Carrington Valentine, 37.6% said Eric Stokes. So an interesting one there. And then last but not least, tight end. I put on there Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave. I put Kraft first and Musgrave second. I didn't really have a reason for doing that from an order of operations standpoint. But people said, is Tucker Kraft going to be tight end one? And I said, well, for me, kind of, yes. I think he might be. But more importantly, the answer is that it doesn't matter. My guess is that both of them get about equal amount of snaps every single game, and we see both in a lot of two tight end sets. So I don't think it really matters between Musgrave and Kraft, who's tight end one, tight end two. They're both going to play a lot. They're both going to play a lot of two tight end sets, so I don't think it really is that big of a deal. The interesting thing, though, is even though you add Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs, your needs really remain the same. You still have a need at safety, both starter and depth, off-ball linebacker, potentially starter and depth. Depth at the offensive line, you really have no depth. Luke Tenuta, Caleb Jones, and Royce Newman as of right now. So no real depth along the offensive line. Then number two running back, you know, even though you added a running back, you still need that number two. So your needs are sort of remaining the same. Meanwhile, we talked about that off-ball linebacker, Quay Walker, Isaiah McDuffie, Christian Welch, and Christian Young. They still need some bodies there. Free agents are running out. There's really only a handful left. Jerome Baker is probably the top free agent still available at off-ball linebacker. He'd be a nice add. I know he's visiting somebody. I want to say maybe 10. There's a team that he's visiting. I forget who it is, but it's not Green Bay. Devin White is out there. He's, again, if you guys have been listening, not the direction I think Green Bay should go in. Terrell Dodson is out there from Buffalo. Isaiah Simmons is out there. There's just not much left. Bobby Wagner, Eric Kendricks both got picked up. This is a very picked over position at the moment, and it looks more and more like Green Bay probably is going to have to attack that position pretty aggressively through the draft. All right, last couple of miscellaneous items here. Green Bay has apparently set up their first top 30 visit already for draft season. Michigan offensive lineman Zach Zinter will come into Green Bay for one of those top 30 visits. Meanwhile, Rayshon Jenkins, who the Packers were reportedly interested in and going to bring in for a visit, I don't know if he ever had the visit. It doesn't feel like he did. I would assume that probably once they signed McKinney, maybe they, you know, didn't have quite the interest in Jenkins, or maybe Jenkins didn't have quite the interest in Green Bay. Who knows? But either way, Jenkins did sign with the Seattle Seahawks, so he will not be a member of the Green Bay Packers, and despite whatever interest that there was. And yeah, that actually, I think, does it for me today. Oh, one more thing. Last few days, the audio numbers, the video numbers have just been sensational. The comments have been amazing. I just want to say thank you. Sometimes the comments are interesting, both on the YouTube channel, both on the, usually not as much on the YouTube channel, but sometimes certainly on X and Twitter. And it sometimes is easy to get caught up in whether it's the negativity or just some of the bizarre things that come up. I also very, very, very much notice all of the positive stuff. And it does not go unnoticed. I will tell you, as somebody who does this every single day and sees the comments, it's really easy for the negative ones to wear on you and to pass over the positive ones, even though the positive ones are more prevalent and obviously better and more enjoyable. It's the negative ones that sometimes just eat at you a little bit more. But like I said, those do not go unnoticed. I appreciate you guys so much for the support, for the love, for the kindness, and just for being a really awesome Packers community. We right now are in the top 100 of all sports podcasts in Apple Podcasts. Top 100. We were top 90, I think, today. And when I looked at that recently, there were only three sports teams in any sport that were in the top 100. So meaning in that top 100, the 97 other ones were all based on an entire sport. It wasn't just covering one team. There were only three team-centric podcasts in the entire top 100 of sports that were devoted to one individual team. And we were one of them. That's pretty freaking cool. So thank you guys so much. Like I said, love all the support, love all the comments. Cannot thank you enough. Appreciate you making this part of your daily routine. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, most hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shabra Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, and David Prendergast. I will see you guys tomorrow. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.